Yeah, I'm losing the eye. You know what? A bet is a bet. I'm not going to welch.
Isn't it Welsh?
No, I think it's Welch.
Okay.
Isn't it Welch? I'm not going to welch on the bet. I'm going to do it. I made that bet, so I'm going to live with it.
Okay,
it's going to suck.
Let me. That'll be Friday, by the way.
Mason Friday. And I, by the way, I already ordered stick-on eyebrows. So I can just stick a fake eyebrow on where I'm getting.
I say you just get a Sharpie, but you know I'll leave it.
Yeah, I think that is not my approach. I wanted to pass along this piece of news. We didn't ask Sean McVay about this. We talked about Sonny Michel, but didn't bring up Cam Akers. Here's what he told press conference today. He said everybody else today was at jog through, and Cam Akers was full speed flying around. So he's excited. He'll be ready to go. Looking forward to seeing Cam make his debut this week. So we will see Cam Akers this Sunday against San Francisco.
Good for him, man.
Yeah,
normally,
that's awesome.
Normally,
what a comeback.
Achilles not only takes you out of the season in front of you, but goes into the next season, and he's
coming crazy, back crazy comeback year. From that injury.
Okay, so this weekend is the final regular season weekend of the NFL.
Yes.
And so we've got a doubleheader on Saturday, Chiefs at Broncos, Cowboys at Eagles. The Chargers-Raiders has been flexed into the Sunday night football slot. Now, the Chargers and the Raiders are two of five AFC teams still vying for playoff spots, along with the Colts, Ravens, and Steelers. Now, for Indianapolis, the situation is pretty simple.
Yep.
If they beat the Jaguars, they lock up a playoff spot. But if they fail, things get very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers and the Raiders would then both have an opportunity to finish 9-7-1 with a tie. That would be better than the 9-8 record the Ravens can pull off if they beat the Steelers. So, Mace, it sets up this weird, quirky dynamic where if Indianapolis loses, and that's a big if, they're playing Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But if they lose, the Raiders and Chargers would both be in with a tie. In other words, the loser would not be out. If in a regular scenario, the loser would be out. But this one set of circumstances, a tie puts them both in. Now, it's the goal of every NFL team to get into the tournament.
Right.
You never know
right.
what happens if you get in. Nothing's more important than that. Would you even entertain the idea, and should the NFL get involved here? I don't know what they could do. I don't think you can change the rules before the game. But if you're Brandon Staley, and what'd you say the other guy's name was? Tony DeNiro?
God, you don't even know Tony. It's Rich Bisaccia.
Okay.
I don't even know the Raiders head coach.
I don't,
you're
think
a Raiders
that last,
fan,
I don't think
allegedly.
That last name is even close to what his last name is. But would you get each other on the phone and say, hey, a tie, and we're both in. Let's tie. Let's just agree that on fourth down, we'll play it like a scrimmage. On fourth down, we take a knee. We don't punt. We don't kick field goals. We run the same plays. We can rest all our starters. Why wouldn't you if it guaranteed you a playoff spot? Would you even consider it?
You know, it's an interesting hypothetical. I think it's a rhetorical question because there's no way in hell that's going to happen.
Jacksonville beat Buffalo this year.
You want to knock the other guy out. It's the Chargers and the Raiders. You want to knock the other guy out. Win that friggin' football game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really think that – Yeah. Do you really think that they – and by the way, this has now been flexed into Sunday Night Football.
Right.
You really think that an intentional tie – fulfills the competitive spirit of the NFL?
It absolutely does not. But I don't care about that if I'm Brandon Staley or Rich Bisaccia. I just don't think it. I want in.
The league is about winning games.
Right.
Not intentionally tying.
Wait a minute. I went into the tournament. There's nothing more important than me making the playoffs.
Win your way in.
But I don't have to. I can get in with a tie, and so can you. Let's pretend that, you and I are the coaches.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I call you up. Hey, man, look. You're Rich Bisaccia. You want to try and keep this Raider gig. Man, you get into the playoffs. You guys have some great wins this year. You want to get in. This guarantees your team that's been through hell this year. You've been through John Gruden getting fired. You've been through Henry Ruggs killing somebody. It's been like the worst possible year you can imagine, except this would get you and your fans into the postseason, and I'm handing it to you. I'm literally handing you a pass to get into the postseason. Why wouldn't you take it?
Staley, you're soft. I'm going to kick your ass Sunday night.
Look, man.
We are going to the playoffs.
I have
and you're not.
Herbert. I just lit the Broncos defense, which is one of the best defenses in football, up for 38 points. All right? I've got Austin Eckler. I've got Keenan Allen. I'm going to beat you unless you accept this deal. And then you're out and they hire Jim Harbaugh. What are you doing?
There is no way. First of all, it's hypothetical. There's no way it's happening. Agreed?
I don't agree.
Oh, come on.
I think it's highly unlikely.
You really think that two teams would deliberately play to a tie on Sunday Night Football?
This from the guy who bet all his mythical money that there would not be a tie on Thanksgiving and lost it all.
Right, but that was not an intentional tie.
Yeah,
they weren't trying to tie.
I'm saying you can have an intentional tie.
Yeah, I think these guys want to kick each other's asses, and I think that's
too,
the way it should be.
Unless they don't need to. Bergman, what do you think?
I think you're insane, John. It's the Raiders Chargers.
Right.
The Raiders hate the Chargers.
Of course.
The Chargers hate the Raiders. Yeah.
But is there anything more important than getting into the playoffs? And if both teams can get in, why wouldn't you consider it?
I mean, the only way that would even work is if they kneeled down every single time for the entire game. Just three kneel downs, back and forth.
And I told you, by the way, John, the word for 2022 is soft. That would be the softest move in history. Nothing softer than saying, all right, guys, we're going to go out there and we're just going to tie. That is soft.
God. It's dirty. And on Sunday Night Football, too, could you imagine?
I don't disagree with anything of what you're saying. The bottom line is my scenario puts both teams in the playoffs. That's why you can't just poo-poo it.
Guys, let's go kick some ass.
Kneel down.
John wants everybody to kneel down.
I want my team in the playoffs.
Should they even wear pads?
You would actually do it. You would play to a deliberate tie.
I don't think I'm going to get the opportunity, but I would absolutely consider it.
So if Indianapolis does lose to Jacksonville, and that's what it would take, you as Brandon Staley or you as Rich Bisaccia would approach the other coach and say, coach, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to play to a tie. 0-0. And we'll both make the playoffs. You would honestly do that?
Why not?
Oh, come on.
Do I get in the playoffs?
Yeah, you get into the playoffs, but you're the softest coach in the league.
Somebody says, Ireland, how is agreeing to tie the game not game-fixing? It is game-fixing.
Oh, it is game-fixing!
Because of the NFL's rules. Now, if the NFL wants to change the rules, okay. I mean, come on. And somebody writes, Chargers beat the Raiders earlier in the season. They own the tiebreaker. It's not that the Chargers and Raiders would be fighting over the spot. The Chargers would be seated higher, but the Raiders get in.
Chargers coach Brandon Staley has dismissed this idea of a complicit tie with the Raiders. We all respect the game.
He has to. Of course he has to say that. Now, could you do it covertly? Just tell Justin Herbert.
You score a touchdown. You score a touchdown. We'll finish 14-14. Is that what you're saying?
Could you? I'm asking.
Well, of course you could.
It might be harder to pull off than we think.
Oh, you don't think that they would want
passes?
You don't think that they want to knock the other out of the playoffs, though? Why would the Raiders want to help the Chargers?
If this comes up and they tie, if it is 14-14, you guys both going to come on here Monday and say it was a coincidence?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get mythical money on this thing?
Yeah, you can get mythical money on anything you want.
What's your offer?
My offer is, let's see, what odds do you give me? Odds that they won't tie.
Okay, so this would be it. I want 95-1.
I can't do that. It would wipe me out for the year.
No, wouldn't. You would have $5,000.
You would 95, have five, so I'd bet 95 to win five?
To win one.
Yeah, that's
true. Mace, okay. You had the opportunity to place whatever bet you wanted, but you asked, do I get any odds? And that's what you get. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You really could have.
But I will. I'll give you $1,000 of my mythical money if you give me $95,000 if they finish in a tie.
Oh.
Or shave the other eyebrow.
No. I'm done with that.
If it's a tie, you give me $95,000, and if it's not, I give you $1,000.
Well, why would I do that for $1,000? The stakes aren't there.
I'm just asking.
They could accidentally tie.
You seem 100% sure of yourself. Will you do it for 50? 50,000 to one?
To win one?
To win $1,000.
What? No, there's no stakes there. There's no reason for me
to make
that bet.
No, there are stakes. They're 50 to one stakes.
$1,000?
Yeah.
You'll win it. You'll win the $1,000.
Wait a minute. This is no different from the bet you lost on Thanksgiving.
No, that was a different bet.
No, it was the same bet. It was you were going to win 6,000 or lose 70. And you lost all of it.
Yeah, that was a dumb bet. That was a dumb bet, too. I've learned my lesson.
All right,
they're not going to tie. I won't do it for $1,000, but they're not going to tie. Okay. Oh, Ireland, you really think it's going to happen?
I don't, but I'd be willing to roll the dice with some odds.
Here's a little bit more of Staley. He was on with Rich Eisen. I think we all respect the game and the NFL shield and the integrity of this game far too much to be complicit in something like that. This game matters too much to too many people, and we want to play our best and be proud of the result one way or another. We're going to do everything we can to win this game and play the way we're capable of playing. I hope all the fans and everybody who loves the NFL will be proud of the game on Sunday.
And what that sounds like to me... 21-21, wide left on the final play.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Put your money where your mouth is. 50-1.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
50-1?
Yeah.
50,000 to me, 1,000 if I'm wrong. It's a tie.
F it. I'll do it.
Yeah. You made $1,000.
To win $1,000.
The ticket is in.
I will never root harder. Never
for a tie. I am so rooting for a tie. All right. Coming up, is Travis coming on next?
Yes.
Travis from the world-famous Travis and Sliwa show over the stolen bottle of wine?
Yes. We're going to get to the bottom of it next.
Okay, cool. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Russell Westbrook did last night what I believe and hope Matthew Stafford will do on Sunday against San Francisco. No turnovers. Just eliminate the turnovers. Russell Westbrook, zero turnovers last night. First time in a game since 2016. Matthew Stafford lets no turnovers Sunday against San Francisco.
That would be awesome. All right, now we're going to try and get to the bottom of a station-wide ESPN LA controversy. First of all, Jorge, play the clip that you played earlier during Jump Ball where Travis accuses you of stealing something.
I consider Jorge a friend of mine, right? Not just a colleague and a peer, but an amigo, that he stole my wine means that I need to completely recalibrate my relationship with Jorge.
Okay, so that's Travis's position. Jorge claims he did no such thing. And joining us on the show right now is the host of Travis and Slee with Travis Rogers. Hi, Trav.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are excellent. So Jorge claims he is innocent of what he has been accused. See. What say you?
Well, let me put it this way. I think I would have done the same thing in his situation, but let's make it very clear. He drank my bottle of wine. There are no two ways about it. That was a bottle of wine that had my name on it that has now passed its way through Jorge's system.
Okay, so Trav, his contention is that he was given the wine by Taylor. It was Taylor's wine. Taylor doesn't drink. He gave it to Jorge, and that you never had said ownership of this wine. How do you establish ownership of this wine that Jorge drank?
Okay, you answer this for me. If something had the name John Ireland on it, is it yours?
It was intended, okay. it was intended for me.
Yes. This bottle of wine had the name Travis on it.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know how that somehow went to Taylor.
Okay, now there's a contention.
The
contention there, Travis, is that Jorge says your name was not on it.
Well, perhaps by the time it got to Jorge, that's certainly
wait a minute, Jorge, I have a question.
Yeah.
At any point, did it have the name Travis on it, and then the name was changed or switched? At any point in this wine's life, did it have Travis or Rogers or Trav or T? Any known name
Never.
For Travis on the bottle?
Never. The bottle had no name on it. And then the bag where the bottle was had Taylor's name on it.
Oh!
Now, Trav, is it possible, okay. Travis, Taylor, those are both T names? Is it possible you mistook your name for Taylor's?
So here is what I have subsequently discovered has happened.
Okay.
So this is... Sliwa told like 80% of the story today, but he left the embarrassing part for him out. Here's what happened. So before the holidays, the last Wednesday before the holiday was his last day. And on that day, I bought Emily a small gift and I bought Alan a small gift.
Very nice.
And just kind of, you know, enjoy your holidays. So I gave Emily her gift and I gave Alan his gift. I came back to work on Thursday. Alan was not working on Thursday, but I have a feeling that because he was feeling guilty and had not purchased me a gift, that he decided that afternoon he was going to go buy a gift and then put it in the studio where I would find it the next day, kind of a, oh, here you go.
Okay.
So I think that this is the part of the story that he left out. That part I think is important because the next day I do come into the studio. There is a bottle of something on the table. And I look at it, and I look at the tag, and the tag says Taylor. I said, okay, maybe Taylor was in the studio, and he just said it here and forgot he said it here. So I don't read the card. I don't do anything. It doesn't have my name on it. It has Taylor's name on it.
Right.
So I leave it where I find it. I just take it off of my chair, and I put it on the desk. And so I don't think too much about it. Well, the Rams game that weekend, Taylor's doing the board, and I'm doing what I do. And Taylor says to me during one of the breaks, hey, Trav, thanks for the present. And I'm thinking, huh? I didn't, you know, yeah, sure. Okay. It didn't really register with me. So we come back from break and I do my RAM stuff. And then it just completely flips my mind. And then today, Alan tells the story about, hey, did you find Taylor's bottle of wine? And I'm like, well, now that you mention it, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah, I think I put yours in Taylor's locker. So Taylor found my bottle and gave it to Jorge. I never had possession of anything that said Travis. Taylor,
now, wait a minute. Where is the bottle? Where is the other bottle? Where's the other bottle of wine?
That's the right question.
Right. Where is it? What's the answer?
Undetermined.
Okay. Here's my view of this. It sounds very confusing. Okay. And in all that confusion, you have besmirched Jorge. I think very simply, you should say, Jorge, I'm sorry. How about that?
No. What I'm saying is,
amigo, come on.
Wait, Trav, how is Jorge guilty of anything in this scenario?
Travis, I have a witness.
No, I don't think he's necessarily guilty of doing anything I myself wouldn't have done. If somebody had said to me, hey, listen, Trav, I don't drink. Would you like this bottle of wine? I would have said, yes, please. Thank you very much. And by the end of that night, that bottle of wine would have been gone. I wouldn't have asked any questions. I would have kept it going.
Right.
I perhaps used the wrong word when I said Jorge stole it. I should have said Jorge drank my bottle of wine. That's probably more.
Wait a minute. It was. I would argue it was never yours to begin with because the whole time it said Taylor on it. If anybody screwed up here, it was Sliwa.
It's definitely Sliwa's problem. Sliwa's the problem 100%. In all of this. But you brought up the most important question, John. There were two bottles at one point. There was one with Taylor's name on it. There was one with my name on it.
Where is the bottle with your name on it? Where is it?
Well, the bottle with my name on it is in a landfill somewhere because Jorge drank it.
Wait a minute. Jorge, you claim the bottle you drank the whole time had Taylor's name on it, right?
No, the bag did. There's no name on the bottles.
So, Trev, I wonder if Sliwa actually only produced one bottle of wine here.
Yeah, me too. I think he went cheap. I think he only brought one bottle.
Yep, I think he went cheap. I think he only bought one bottle. I think he made up the second bottle. There was never a second bottle in the locker. There was never a second gunman. There was no one on the grassy knoll. Sliwa screwed this up.
So, Travis, just so you know.
By the way, that works for me. I'm sure somewhere in that building there's some Zapruder film of Sliwa with just one bottle of wine somewhere.
Wait a minute. Bergman, do we have security cameras in the studio?
I don't believe so, no.
Pull the video! I want to see it!
No. Oh, how great would it be if we could pull the video?
I mean, yes, we do. If anybody is around there, yes, we do have security cameras.
So, hey, Trav.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't even thought of it, John. You're right. There's a second bottle out there somewhere that I guess is Taylor's that he could then give to me. I don't know how this works, but somebody's down a bottle of wine somewhere.
Oh, I know.
Here's the problem. I told George, I was like, yo, I should grab that bag because it's a nice bag. Like I said, Latinos, we don't throw away nice bags.
What name was on that bag?
Taylor's.
Thank you.
Laura, have you ever...
We white people don't throw away nice bags either.
No, wait a minute. Just, Laura, do you have access? Do you guys lock your lockers? Can you go walk back to Taylor's locker right now and see if there's another bottle of wine back there?
I don't know if he locks it, but I can go check.
Yeah, go look.
Okay.
And report back.
Hey, and while we're doing that...
And if there is, put it in your backpack and bring it to me the next time we see each other.
And see if it says drink Travis on it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Trav, I listen to you... Every single time you do a game with Kirk Morrison, you're doing the pregame, you're doing the postgame. I think you're doing halftime. I don't necessarily, but I'm going to be there on Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it. I heard what you said coming in, and I think it's pretty spot on that if Matthew Stafford doesn't throw it to the guys in the white jerseys, I think we got a pretty good chance. I think it's as simple as that. That they've lost four games. Three of them are because he threw a truckload of interceptions, and if he doesn't do that, they don't lose. It's pretty simple. It's not incredibly complicated.
What's with him? Why, you know, he was 14 of 14 in the second half. I said earlier this week, I think Stafford is just a really slow starter in games, and I don't mean necessarily interceptions. Even in the games that we've won and he hasn't thrown a bunch of picks, he throws it into the turf. He misses guys. He's behind guys. He just starts really slow, and sometimes that results in interceptions. Do you think that's fair?
I do. I think he's far better later in the game than he is early in the game. I don't know if it's a slow start. I don't know if there's some sort of physical component that doesn't warm up in time. I can't imagine it would be something like that. I mean, he's got plenty of time and opportunity to get loose or whatever, but there's no question about it, Mace. He is a different, the longer the game goes, the better he gets. Even in those games like in Tennessee and San Francisco when he was really bad, he was really bad early in the game. He wasn't bad throughout the whole game, and Baltimore's a perfect example. He was really bad in the first half, and then he was lights out in the second. It is odd, but, you know, Slee and I were talking about this. You know, you're not going to play Baltimore or Minnesota or one of these teams in the playoffs. You're going to get a really good team. If you give them a couple of extra possessions and take a couple of possessions off your plate, they're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs.
Do we win on Sunday?
Yeah. Every time they play the Niners, I'm like, okay, here's why the Niners have pushed them around. Well, no, it wasn't that, it was this. And I've always made an excuse as why the Niners, it may just be as simple as the Niners are that one team that you can't beat. You know, John, you remember this. Remember for a million years, even when the Lakers were winning championships, they couldn't beat Charlotte? Remember how weird that was?
Yeah.
I wonder if there isn't some element of that with San Francisco, that it's just a terrible matchup for whatever reason, that they don't have an answer for whatever it is San Francisco's doing. So to answer your question, mates, I think they'll win, but I don't feel great about it. I mean, they've lost to them five times in a row. They lost to them when they had Nick Mullins as their quarterback. So I think they'll win, but the good news is I don't really think it makes a huge difference if they're the two or the five, and they could still be the two even if they lose. I think once they go into the playoffs, everything's kind of equal. So I don't know how big of a game it is, but I'd like to see them go in on a six-game winning streak, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, listen, we're going to continue to investigate.
Is Laura back yet?
I am.
Yes.
Okay. Anything, Laura?
No. Taylor, I did not go through your locker. I just opened it, didn't see a bottle of wine. And yeah, so I don't know what happened to that one.
But Travis, guys like you and me, a bottle of alcohol, no matter what it is, you know, it's not going to last.
No, you did the right thing.
I blame Sliwa here.
You did what I would have done. For sure. For sure. We're still amigos.
Thank you. All right.
There you go. All right. Hey, Trav, listen every day. Love the show. You and Slee, you're on from 10 in the morning until 1 o'clock leading into us. It's a great show. Easy listen. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Okay. It's a really good show. I listen when I drive out to Starbucks. Always listen. Am I alone on that?
Sounds like it.
I listen every day. I love it. I listen to it every day. It's great.
Like
I was waiting for
I'm
Ireland
out on the limb on everything
yes.
today. Everything I say, you three disagree with me.
No, I agree with you on this show. On this. I'm with you.
Okay, good.
You're not alone.
Coming up next, I want to go after somebody coming up next. Somebody that deserves it. Can we do that next?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to figure out who it is.
And then we got Game of Games. I think it's Bergman's game today. So far, Ireland has won once, and Michael Thompson has won once in 2022. We're playing for $10,000 in mythical money, and we'll do Game of Games coming up in about 15 minutes. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, you super should have accepted my counter, which involved me eating a bowl of dog food. Because that was way worse than shaving off my eyebrow, which will happen on Friday here on the show and on all platforms of social media and all that stuff. See it live! So what is wrong with this guy Jason Whitlock? Seriously.
This is a fat. Well, explain the story, and I'll tell you why it's fascinating. But go ahead.
Okay, so Mina Kimes is an ESPN NFL, and I would call her an expert. I mean, I think she knows more about football than most people on the network. She received a nasty tweet from somebody attacking her on her football knowledge. And Jason Whitlock then went on to say, Mina, stop embarrassing yourself and pretending to actually know anything about male sports. The only reason you're at ESPN is due to affirmative action. Jeff Saturday must privately feel so emasculated having to pretend to have an intellectual back and forth about professional football with someone wearing lipstick and high heels. Viewers see you as a bad joke and they're forced into enduring. That is unbelievably offensive. I mean, we both know Mina. I know her talking football, and she, I mean, I'll just tell you up front, Mina knows way more about football than I do. She knows. She talks linebackers and offensive linemen and defensive linemen and secondary guys and backup guys and injury change, all that stuff. She knows more about football. It's sort of like, you know how Doris Burke knows so much about the NBA. Like, we trust Doris Burke. She's been doing this for... I trust Mina Kimes on football. And that is so sexist and so offensive on the part of whoever Jason Whitlock is. And I don't know where he works or anything like that. But I just find that completely shocking.
Well, he is a professional contrarian who got run out of ESPN. He got run out of Fox. He is one of these guys that is... He puts stuff out specifically to invoke the reaction that you just had. So he continues to do stuff like this, and we continue to react to it. Anybody who knows Mina, and she's...
Where does he work, by the way?
I don't even know the name of it now. It's like a... It's
some off-brand,
yeah,
sports operation.
But he... I normally stand up for contrarians because I think that it's okay to have alternate viewpoints out there. This strikes me as... I mean, he did this... He attacked Maria Taylor last year.
Yep.
Now he's attacking Mina. I just don't know if he has, for lack of a better term, a lot of women in his life. He clearly doesn't appear to view women as equals, which is his loss. And I don't... We keep taking the bait. You know, this has gone crazy on the internet.
It's gone crazy viral, yeah.
At some point, I think we'll all figure out what his MO is. And
right,
that is to get this type of reaction. But I don't think Mina needs to, like... Prove her credentials to anybody.
But if you were to put Jason Whitlock and Mina Kimes in a Jeopardy situation and ask football questions, I would put all my money on Mina Kimes.
Jason would never do it because he knows he would lose.
He's soft.
He knows he would lose. Let's just say Mina's work speaks for itself.
It does.
I mean, every time you watch her do something, I mean, she does preseason Ram games on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's put it this way. Sometimes you see these disputes and you say somebody won the battle and somebody won the war. There's no way Jason's going to win anything here.
No, no.
He just comes across as looking sexist and, you know, a
it's
little
an
bit
embarrassing,
pathetic.
Embarrassing, sad take on
yeah,
the part
just,
of Jason
just,
Whitlock.
I think he picked the wrong person to pick a fight with.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, because you look at her work on any of her various platforms, and it's like she's funny and smart and knowledgeable, and, you know, whether it was on Le Batard's old show or filling in for us or, you know, doing anything. And his point seemed to be that, well, she's playing the victim because she's a woman. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Her work speaks for itself.
And, you know, I see her all the time because when I'm getting ready for the show, I watch the 9 o'clock Sports Center, the 10 o'clock Sports Center, the Max show leading into NBA Today. That's my viewing every day. And in those first 2 hours of Sports Center, I learn a lot of football from Mina Kimes. She's got it together. So sticking up for Mina here.
Yeah, and she doesn't need
And you're right. Her work speaks for itself.
Yeah, right.
All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is Bergman's game today. You never know what you're going to get from him. We will find out coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time for Game of Games, and it is me, Ireland, and Jorge playing. That means it's Bergman's game. He warned us in advance it's short, so he put a lot of time into this.
Actually did.
Just wrote a short game today.
Well, you'll see why.
Okay. Bergman, take it away.
All right, so this game is called Trivia for All. I have 10 questions for each of you. They're easy questions. You should get most of them or all of them. However, you only have 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. Whoever has the most questions right at the end wins, and I do have a tiebreaker if needed. So, Ireland, can you mark down how many everybody gets, please?
Sure.
All right, so I need a 30-second clock, Jorge, whenever you're ready, and I'm going to start with Ireland.
Okay. All right, here we go.
All right. What state has the Statue of Liberty?
Wait a minute. It's mine, right?
This is all Ireland. So we can stop the clock.
Mason, you don't talk. These are all for me.
These are all for you. Okay.
Yeah, and then you get your time.
I knew the answer. I just wanted to prove I knew the answer.
Yeah, okay. All right, here we go.
Yeah, so it's 10 questions for each of you. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so Ireland. What state has the Statue of Liberty?
New York.
Who's the head coach of the Rams?
Sean McVay.
What city are the ESPN LA studios in?
Los Angeles.
What's the name of the arena that the Lakers play in?
Crypto.com Arena.
What animal's man's best friend?
A dog.
What's the most important meal of the day?
Breakfast.
What's our station's call letters?
KSPN.
How many championships do the Lakers have?
17.
What's your wife's name?
Lisa.
What kind of... Okay, so you didn't get the 10th one in, so you got 9.
Okay.
9.
9, so that's what you have to beat,
Part of that is
me.
You reading questions slow or fast or whatever.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Some of the questions are longer. Ask me short questions.
Well, I will ask you the questions that I've already written for you.
Okay.
All right.
All right, clock, here we go.
What is the longest river in the world?
Amazon.
No. What state are you from?
Ohio.
What's the leadoff hitter for the Dodgers?
Trey Turner.
Wrong. What's my daughter's name?
Riley.
What's the board at SoFi called?
Infinity board.
What sport does Lionel Messi play?
Soccer.
Who plays Ted Lasso in Ted Lasso?
Jason Sudeikis.
Who voices most things at the station?
Chris Morales.
I'll give Morales. Okay. He got 6.
6. All right. So you're out.
Wait a minute. Didn't I get the Nile? I threw the Nile
no,
in
No,
there.
No, no. It was just, no. You missed it.
Yeah
but
wrong.
If I change
you said
my
Amazon.
Answer, that still makes it right.
No. It's the first answer you give.
You're gonna get it. You're gonna lose anyway. You get 7 or 6. It's totally fine.
You asked me tougher questions.
What are you talking about?
You're answering all fast. The Nile.
They were much tougher.
Really?
You didn't make it say the Nile.
Yeah, I said Amazon. Then I switched to Nile. I should get credit for that.
No, you don't. Zero.
What Dodgers leadoff hitter? I'm trying. I don't even.
Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts.
You've heard of Mookie
blanked.
Betts, maybe?
I said Trey Turner. Yeah. I am familiar with the team.
Yeah.
All right, Jorge, you ready?
Si.
What state are we in?
California.
Who's the head coach of the Lakers?
Frank Vogel.
What state is the Grand Canyon in?
Arizona.
Who's your favorite Dodger?
Julio Diaz.
What are your daughter's name?
Maite.
What is Mason going to shave on Friday?
Eyebrow.
What's the name of this segment?
Game of Games.
Name one of two numbers Kobe had retired.
8 and 24.
What's the opposite of left?
Right.
What day is it?
Wednesday.
10. Jorge wins.
Woo! Well, wait a minute. Why should I lose because you took too long to read the question?
Yeah, I would argue that my questions were... You were asking me what the longest river in the world is. You're asking Jorge what his daughter's name is.
I asked him what state the
Everybody, it's right next to us. Everybody knows it's Arizona.
They're easy questions.
That's like a Jeopardy question.
They're easy questions.
I actually think Jorge and I should have a showdown. I shouldn't be penalized because you took too long to read the question.
You did read long questions. Jorge got really short. What's your favorite question?
You guys are missing the whole point here.
What's your daughter's name?
You dopes, like Ireland says. I gave myself an extra 2 seconds.
Right, because you did pause on
wait a
Frank
minute.
Vogel.
I actually appreciate the hustle right there.
You dopes.
All right, well, you guys can have a tie break then. I do have a tie break.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
All right, so how many turnovers does Russell Westbrook have on the season, closest without going over Ireland?
On the season.
On the season.
I hate that expression, on the season. It makes no sense, on the season.
175.
Okay. Jorge.
Oh, man, 174?
Why do you go one lower?
I hate those questions.
It's 181, so Ireland gets
the ball. Ireland takes
You were close. You were close, Ireland.
That game was garbage. That was a garbage game.
A week ago, yeah. And he didn't have any. So
that game was trash.
Why? Because you finished last?
Trash game. We got to do that.
We
got
to do that in studio, man.
You did not get it.
Who's the longest? What's the longest river in the world? That's a Jeopardy question.
You know
question.
That. That's easy. Everybody knows the Nile.
It's a Jeopardy question. That's hard. It's not like.
Please.
You asked Ireland, what's your wife's name? And I asked me what the longest river in the world is.
I asked you where you were from. I asked you what state you were from.
Yeah, that's an easier one.
I asked you what my daughter's name is, what the board at SoFi is called. Like, these are easy questions.
That's tough. Most people don't know it's called the Infinity
Board. But you knew it. I knew you knew it, though.
Yeah.
What sport does Lionel Messi play? Come on.
That game is trash. That's trash.
Yeah, you're trash.
That game was soft.
You're soft.
The game was soft.
The game was soft.
Ireland.
And trash.
Was that a game okay?
I thought it was fine.
You won.
Yeah, because you won it. Sure. You think it's okay.
Although Jorge was pretty brilliant to give himself two extra
exactly.
seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty smart.
So we got a little piece of news. Dave McMenamin tweets, Lakers will likely sign small big man Stanley Johnson to a 10-day contract on Thursday, league sources tell ESPN. Johnson, who's 25, recently completed a 10-day hardship exemption contract with the Lakers, and the SoCal native made an impact with his on-ball defense and toughness. Right move, right guy. Defensively, he was – I don't care if he scores. Defensively, he was a presence when he was in that starting lineup.
I think this is a good move, and you know, there's some rumors out there that they're trying to move some other guys, whatever. But regardless, I think Stanley Johnson, it's smart to have him there because he's a wing, he's aggressive, and like you say, he plays defense first, which is kind of what they need. It appears that he'll be available to play against Atlanta on Friday. I would imagine they'll slide him right back into the starting lineup. Last night, when he wasn't on the roster, they started Trevor Ariza, but I would think Stanley Johnson kind of fits that role. Ariza can give you a limited amount of minutes, but that's it. The question is, what do you do with Dwight Howard? Dwight Howard actually gave them quality minutes last night off the bench, but they've been winning. They're now undefeated, 3-0, with LeBron at center.
Here's the thing about that, John. So we've heard over and over again, Anthony Davis doesn't like playing the five. Doesn't like playing the five. He's played a little more this year, but doesn't like playing the five. Look at LeBron James. Look at him playing the five. Anthony Davis, when you come back, play the five. We're better with you at the five.
He will. I've actually asked him about that before, and he'll play wherever they ask him to play. He doesn't care. I mean, if you ask him what's his preference, he'll say the four. But he's not going to say no if they ask him to play the five. All these guys are all in on whatever they get asked to do. So I think Anthony Davis will be he'll play the five if they ask him to.
Yeah, I mean, if LeBron James can play the five, Anthony Davis can play the five.
Yeah, and, you know, the other guy that's been a key reason why the Lakers have won four out of five is Malik Monk.
He might be
the guy they ended up stealing. You know, he was a free agent. He could have gone anywhere. I think the idea of playing with LeBron on a marquee team where he was going to be on TV a lot and show the rest of the world what he can do was appealing, and I think you can't take him out of the starting lineup. He's turned out to be your best outside shooter. He can score. He's averaging 20 points a game over his last five. He's the guy I want to see take the shot more than anybody other than LeBron. I think he's become that good. So I think the other thing that's emerged out of this COVID, AD being hurt, what have you, is that Malik Monk is now a fixture in the starting lineup. In the beginning of the year, Mace, they wouldn't have him in there because he didn't play great defense, but
right.
He has fixed that. I think Frank Vogel told him, look, if you play defense, you can start and play a lot of minutes, and so now he's defending.
He was one of the few guys with a minus in that Sacramento game. He was minus two.
Right, but
Ariza and Malik Monk were both actually, Avery Bradley was worse. He was a minus four.
If you watch the game, though, his three-point shooting kept the Lakers in it.
Oh, no, he shot the lights out. Austin Reeves is the guy that I just love on the floor.
Yep.
I love the intensity. I love the defense. I love the commitment. I love the hustle. Great player.
Yeah. And he'll play a lot, too. I think that again, what you want is to be ready to go when the schedule gets harder, and that starts on Sunday.
Well, it's like you've been saying, I want defense.
Yeah.
I want defense first. That's Frank Vogel's calling card. I want guys who are out there. I mean, that's what I love about Stanley Johnson. That's what I love about Austin Reaves. playing defense. What's wrong with Talen Horton? I know he had a good night in Sacramento or against Sacramento, but I think generally speaking, he's been kind of disappointing this
year. Not last night. You saw him last night.
No,
right?
I'm saying last night he had a good night, but yeah. I think generally
young,
disappointing.
He's 21. You know, so he'll figure it out.
Oh, I'm told it's break time. And when it's break time at this time of day, it means it's all over. Thanks for listening. We are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock sharp. Coming up next for you is Sedano and somebody as Kaplan keeps
Clinton.
Seeing. Clinton Yates today. Excellent. Member of the Handsome Man Club. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.